Welcome to Moving the Needle, casual conversations about ways big and small to impact student learning. Brought to you by the Faculty Center for Teaching and Learning at the University of Maryland, Baltimore. I'm Scott Riley, too. Let's move the needle. Welcome back to Moving the Needle. Developing skills is vital for any successful career. Credentials are a powerful means to identify an individual's skills. From diplomas to licenses to certificates, there are a lot of ways to show one is able to take on new projects and jobs. While many credentials have significant benefits, they also come with challenges, such as rigid time commitments, financial barriers, and limited access. These challenges have led some to think creatively about how to create credentials that let people showcase their skills while also providing flexibility. I'm excited to introduce our guest today, Dr. Gregory Brightbill. Dr. Brightbill is the Associate Director for Student Leadership and Involvement in Intercultural Leadership and Engagement. At UMB, Dr. Brightbill oversees campus-wide student leadership and development. In the spring of 2023, Dr. Brightbill also started UMB's first digital badging initiative called the Learning Institute, which provides students, staff, and faculty access to free micro-courses and micro-credentials. Since its inception, the Learning Institute has taken an innovative approach to co-curricular engagement and learning, recently celebrating its 25th micro-course and awarding of its 2,000th micro-credential. With all of that said, Dr. Brightbill sees micro-credentialing as a cornerstone of higher education's future. Dr. Brightbill, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having it. Please call me Greg. I'm excited to be here and to share a little bit about what we're doing with micro-credentialing at UMB, but also micro-credentialing at large.
Well, thank you, Greg. And let's just jump right into it. One of the ways I like to start these conversations is with an overview question. So can you provide an overview of what micro-credentialing or badging is and why it's becoming increasingly popular in the education sector?
Well, I think the first thing and the most important is that micro-credentialing in its genesis is not something new. So think about trainings that you've been to where you walked away with a certificate. It was an unaccredited certificate, and it was just signed by the person that was training it. And you walked away, and you probably put it in a binder. And maybe at a job interview, you opened up your binder. And if they said, hey, do you have any experience in conflict mediation? You said, yes, I do. I have this micro credential on conflict mediation. Really, the big difference that we're doing now when we talk about micro credentialing is making it a more digital credential, where we are digitizing that little paper certificate and making it something so that it's easier for employers or organizations or even earners to verify.
Who is pursuing these micro-credentials? Who's earning them, you know, in general and particularly at UMB?
When we think about micro-credentialing, it actually goes along really well with the movement of skills-based hiring. So when we think about what employers are looking for, they're not just looking for a degree. Let's say, for example, if you are a student, you're graduating with your Master's of Social Work. So you go and apply for a job as a school social worker. They know you have your degree in social work. But let's say, for example, they're also looking for somebody who knows how to handle crisis. So crisis management. Or let's say they're looking for somebody that also knows CPR or how to even deliver an EpiPen. So what we are doing is we are adding onto the education that somebody may earn with micro-credentials based around specific desirable skills that employers want. And so when we think about, you know, skills-based hiring, the majority of employers are going in that direction. In fact, 87% of employers actually find that skills are crucial when they're hiring. And this is all data pulled from the LinkedIn. What we're also finding is that employers want verifiable skills. And so they don't want to just hear an employee or a potential employee say, well, you know, I, you know, went to a workshop one time on CPR. They want to know, okay, well, how do I know this is legit? And that is where micro-credentials come in. And when we talk about micro-credentials, we're often talking about an open badge or an open micro-credential, which is one that is verifiable through a link, a URL, and it is individually assigned to that person. And so what we've also found is that research in micro-credentialing done by, this article by Collegious Education found that 76% of employers identify micro-credentials as something that is important, because what it tells them, it's that person has skills that they can showcase, but also, here's the big thing, micro-credentials also showcase that an employee or a potential employee is open to expanding their knowledge. They're open to learning. They're open to growing. They're open to adding to their knowledge portfolio. That same study found that 60% of the people that responded to it said that micro-credentials convey an employee's competencies and skills that they find desirable and that they find valuable when interviewing somebody. So it goes back to really what micro-credentials are, which is just showcasing earned skills, knowledge that a student or a learner may acquire anytime.
Based on what you said about the diversity of individuals completing your micro-credentials and the expectation of employers for different skills, I think you used the example of a social worker and, you know, CPR and administering an EpiPen. How do you determine what are the correct micro-credential opportunities or offerings to give to people so that they are more employable, they are more valuable? Because you're talking about, you know, you've talked about individuals at different levels of their career with different goals and aspirations, and then employers, you know, have different expectations depending on the role that they're hiring for. And I think you mentioned that, you know, part of it's data pooled from LinkedIn, but is that the only metric that's used, or how do you, it's a long way of saying, how do you determine what content to provide?
And this is actually a huge question within the micro-credential world, because while we know that, you know, 69% of employers state that they know about micro-credentials, there's actually still a little bit of confusion. In fact, there was an article from Inside Higher Ed that came out last year, which was that micro-credentials are still confusing. Employers don't know what to do with them. And so what we're seeing is actually this partnership building, where higher education organizations and higher education institutions are actually partnering with private companies. So let's say, for example, if Google says, we want people that have knowledge in A, B, and C, and the University of blank says, well, we want our students to be employed by you. So we're going to develop micro-credentials on A, B, and C, and our students are going to earn that. So that way, when they have micro-credential A, micro-credential B, micro-credential C, and they go to that, you know, I think Google is one I said, an interview, Google says, great, that's exactly what we were looking for. And so it really does require a substantial amount of research in topics and trends. Now, one of the benefits of micro-credentials is that we actually tie it often to what's called micro-courses. And a micro-course is pretty much what you hear. It is a small course. It's not something that is a full semester. Usually it's much more simplified. And the benefit of micro-credentialing alongside micro-courses is that you can actually stay much more current in emerging trends, emerging industry standards, emerging knowledge, so that you don't have to spend years preparing a course. Let's say you want to have a course on AI learning and healthcare. So let's say we want to develop one. Well, historically, you'd have to create a curriculum, you'd have to propose it, you'd have to go, you know, in the state of Maryland through MHEC, then you'd have to get it, then you'd have to recruit for it. Years. By the time that you actually have your course implemented, especially when it pertains to technology, is it still relevant? Now, with micro-credentialing alongside micro-courses, you're able to go a much quicker route because it is not an accredited, you know, credential, but it still is backed by that organization. And so it allows a lot more flexibility in staying current with industry things that are desirable by employers or what employers are asking for right then and there.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot goes into it. And I like the idea of partnerships because this kind of cuts out the mystery, right? If Google tells you exactly what they want their employees to have coming in, you can create those micro-credentials and move forward. And that saves everybody a lot of time and effort. One of the many benefits, and I really want to highlight what you mentioned before, that there, I don't want to call them barriers, but there are a lot fewer obstacles to making these micro-credential courses, the micro-courses, which allows them to stay relevant and on top of the skills that students and staff and faculty need. So that's wonderful. With the university in mind, and we're talking about, you know, some of the connections between the university and these micro-courses, I'm curious, when you're designing these micro-credentials, do you take into account the mission of the university and its goals? How do they align with the mission and goals of the university?
Well, you know, to start, UMB, we are, I think, doing okay when it comes to micro-credentialing, but we are far behind some of the bigger institutions. I mean, I think it was University of Texas System just partnered with Coursera, and they're aiming to connect with 30,000 students to get micro-credentials. And you know, that's huge. And they have hundreds of micro-courses and hundreds of micro-credentials. Well, at UMB, we've got a much smaller, list of micro-credentials. We're about at 25 micro-credentials. And, you know, we've engaged with, I think, 1,400 individual learners. So here at UMB, when we are thinking about micro-credentialing and digital badging, often it starts with what benefits everyone. We're still looking at, okay, what is something that anybody can gain knowledge from? So for example, we talk about public speaking. We have our public speaking micro-credential. We have one that we just started on resume writing and cover letter writing and interviewing and psychological safety. So we are developing micro-courses and micro-credentials that anybody at the University of Maryland, Baltimore can benefit from. We also open the door for more specific micro-credentials. And so if, for example, if one of the schools or our department or anybody at UMB wants to award a micro-credential to a specific population, we are more than happy to help facilitate that and to work with them in implementing and delivering that digital badge micro-credential. If you had to ask me, well, Greg, where do you want to take this? What do you want in the next 5 to 10 years? Where is the Learning Institute going? It is really one where I want the Learning Institute to capitalize upon the expertise here at the University of Maryland, Baltimore, and the people that we have here, and to be able to utilize the staff and the faculty who have knowledge that is desirable, and then turning that into a micro course. So for example, I was just reading an article the other day, Dr. Allen Doctor from our School of Medicine, Doctor, I love his name, is developing a powder-based blood substitute. Phenomenal. I mean, absolutely brilliant. And so if you said, well, Greg, what do you want to do for micro courses? Well, I'd want to probably start with that. And so I would probably want to invite Dr. Allen Doctor to come in and talk about innovation and healthcare or pioneering synthetic blood. And just to give a short overview, an introduction into the topic for faculty, staff, or students, or anybody else external to be able to have an opportunity to just sit in, listen, learn, prove their knowledge, and gain a micro-credential. And really, when we think about the Learning Institute, that's what we've been built upon, which is recognizing that, you may not like this, but faculty aren't the only people here at UMB that can teach. We have a fire marshal who is awarding micro-credentials in fire safety and fire extinguisher use. We have staff in our fitness center that are doing CPR trainings. We have staff within student affairs that are teaching how to do a job interview. And my hope is to not only capitalize upon the faculty knowledge here at UMB, but also every employee's, you know, any employee's knowledge, so that way we can together share that knowledge amongst the UMB community or the greater community, and that way everybody can benefit from it.
Which very much aligns with the goals of the university: community outreach, community service. Where does the line begin to get blurry between a micro-credential and an actual credential? And the reason that I ask this is because once you have completed four courses that were all micro, it becomes somewhat summative to a master credential, and that has more weight, that has more impact. I guess it is called a master credential, not a micro credential, right? And so are we really witnessing a new tier that is the interim between a standard credential and a micro credential here at UMB?
One of the things that we've been talking about is exactly that. What is the connection between these micro credentials and a degree? And that's actually one of the wonderful opportunities that we see within micro-credentialing. And so, for example, let's say you could take a course and get a micro-credential, a class. Well, you really enjoyed it. You want to keep going. You want to get another one. Well, now you're at two micro-credentials. Well, keep going. Well, hey, how about you just wrap it up and get the whole degree? And that actually is something that is being utilized widely across academia in micro-credentialing, where we are using micro-credentials kind of as that gateway in getting people to learn and getting people into a classroom setting. You know, one of the things that we've learned in the Learning Institute and things that I've found is that often our learners are people who are not ready or don't have the ability to take on a full academic degree program. But they want to just learn because they're curious and they want to benefit their career. And so they'll start. But after a certain point, they realize, okay, I can do this. I can learn. I'm excited by knowledge. I want to keep going. And that's what we've seen, you know, in academia. And that's what we're probably going to start seeing at UMB. But another thing, you know, one thing that you haven't asked me, which I think is really important, which is equity and knowledge. And one of the benefits of micro-credentials and micro-courses that often we apply a very equitable lens on learning and engagement. So for example, somebody may not have the time to enroll in a full program. Well, but they may have a little bit of time to complete a micro-credential. Or let's say, for example, somebody wants to, well, so let's say, for example, somebody is at a setting where they can't be in class. So let's say one of the biggest populations actually that's been taking our micro-credentials are the front desk security assistants at the university. One of the reasons that they love it is that they can do it on their phone. They can do it at their own time. They can do it on a mobile device. They can do it on a computer, and they can gain those skills while they're working. You know, you can sit down and listen to a micro course video while you're actually working, take the assessment, and then now you have a digital micro credential. And we find that this is important because what we're doing is we're making it easier for people to access knowledge. You don't have to submit your GREs. You don't have to submit your grade. You don't have to apply to an academic program. You don't have to interview for it. One of our micro courses, you can go to the website, umaryland.edu/thelearninginstitute. You can scroll through our portfolio of micro courses. About 2/3 of them are all online asynchronous, self-enroll, self-paced. You click one of them, you enroll, you do the course. Then you get contacted with your micro credential. You could do this in one evening. Your Saturday night, you can earn a micro credential. That's so much more equitable and educational access than having to submit an application with an essay about why you deserve to be in the program. And that's something that's really important for us when we're talking about micro-credentialing, is recognizing that knowledge is something that shouldn't be placed behind a wall. Now, another approach that some micro-credentialers are doing is making it so that the knowledge is free. So you can enroll in a free micro course, learn, and potentially, if you want to earn that micro-credential, you could possibly pay for it at the end. Now, that is not the model that we do here, but the value of it is that it is still allowing that knowledge to be something that is free.
And for me, this really hits home because I'm a huge advocate for accessibility. And this platform, like you're mentioning, does just that. You're removing the restriction of access to education and making it open to multiple populations within the UMB community. And I think that's really powerful and that's great. What other support systems does UMB have to assist students in, you know, getting micro-credentials, navigating the micro-credentialing process? I know you're a great resource, but is there anything else that we should highlight?
Yeah, also over in the Academy of Lifelong Learning, Nick Cohenhoven is doing some amazing work. He has, I can't remember how many, 4 or 5 micro-credentials that he's offering that have been co-developed by the graduate school. These are being implemented through edX, and they are completely free. We have a lot of partners that are coming to also do micro-credentialing, such as the Patients Program and the School of Pharmacy. You know, these are all groups that are coming around campus to ask for an opportunity to develop a micro-credential and digital badge. I think the next step for us is looking at that externally focused micro-credential. So, you know, we've talked a lot about how the Learning Institute serves UMB faculty, staff, and students. The population we don't serve is people that are not currently in the UMB system. If you don't have a UMB ID, you can't access one of my micro courses. But what one thing that we're looking at is, okay, so how do we then take this the next step? So for example, we just implemented a service learning and volunteering orientation micro credential. And the hope is that this will be something that is widely utilized for people who want to volunteer, whether it is here at the Community Engagement Center or abroad or anywhere. So we value volunteering and service. And it's very much connected to the university's mission. So how do we create this micro-credential, and what do we need to do within the Learning Institute and at UMB to make it so that this micro-credential or that knowledge is widely available to anyone?
That's a big question.
It is. I mean, you know, one of the things we do, all of our videos that we develop for the Learning Institute are on YouTube, so anybody can watch them. So when somebody that is external wants to learn about interviewing, I just say, here you go. We create a playlist to go through it. The only thing I'm unable to do is let you in Blackboard or to award you the micro-credential. Our hope in the future, my hope, is that the Learning Institute will be able to grow so that UMB, you know, in our mission, we say we serve Maryland. Well, yeah, let's do it. Let's serve Maryland in the knowledge that we have and sharing that knowledge with anybody here in the state or anybody anywhere.
And kind of on that note, I'm really interested. You've mentioned how many different populations, how many different people the Learning Institute has impacted. Do you have any success stories that you might want to share, or any testimonial that has maybe stuck out to you?
I mean, we've got many success stories, but one of my favorites, and it's not really a success story, but one of my favorite things is when I'm on LinkedIn and somebody that I may not even know at the university shares, hey, I just earned this micro-credential. And you know how LinkedIn's algorithm goes. You may not know the person, but it shares it widely. And several times I've been like, that's one of ours. That's one of the Learning Institutes. And that's really exciting for me because I'm able to see the impact and to see the joy and to see the excitement. Now, if you probably said, okay, well, Greg, what's our most popular micro courses? The Office of Emergency Management, I mean, I think they're actually leading in micro-credentialing. I mean, they're really doing amazing and awarding digital badges. But I would say probably one of the most popular ones is our salary negotiation. And the reason we created that was because students want to know. You know, I had a dental student several years ago that came back for an interview panel where students that were current students were asking her questions. And she said her biggest mistake as a new professional, and she had her degree in dentistry, was undervaluing her worth. She said that she went out there and she had a number in her head. She said, this is what I want. And the employer, the dental office said, sure, great, love it, yeah. What she didn't realize was how underpaid she was. And so, you know, over the years, what I've realized is that this is something that students want to know about. They want to know, how do I get my worth when it comes to my job? And so we created this micro course. But here's the funny, wonderful, interesting thing. Again, the majority of people that have taken this micro course are actually staff. I find it hysterical because, and this is not throwing shade at HR, probably HR is not going to teach employees salary negotiation. But the Learning Institute can do this because our goal is students, our goal is learning. And if staff and faculty also want to join in and gain a micro credential and learn about salary negotiation, well, come on board. And that's been really wonderful and exciting for us.
Well, thank you so much for this really well-rounded and comprehensive look at not just micro-credentialing and badging, but what the Learning Institute is doing to kind of be at the forefront of innovation with micro-credentialing. I do have one more question for you that I like to ask all of our guests. And it's the question of, what do you think is moving the needle in education?
I think one thing that's moving the needle forward in education is really the hybridization of technology and knowledge, and technology and classroom engagement, and technology and how teachers, how educators can effectively build that bridge with learners. And I'm excited to see where that goes forward and how we're able to use technology and possibly VR and different ways that we can give our students, our learners, our community a better opportunity to expand their career, their knowledge, and move forward in their life in a positive direction.
Agreed, 100%. Thank you so much, Greg, for being on Moving the Needle.
And thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us today on Moving the Needle. Visit us at umaryland.edu/FCTL to hear additional episodes, leave us feedback, or suggest future topics. We'd love to hear from you.